here on KSPK-FM.
Then we're good to go. Take three. You're going to have to listen to it again. Sorry, guys. Good evening. I'm Dwayne Nava, President and CEO of the Greater Pueblo Chamber. First, I want to start off by thanking our partners that helped make this debate possible tonight. Legal Women Voters, the NAACP, and Pueblo Community College. Without them, we wouldn't be able to pull this off tonight. So thank you for your partnership. These candidates, want to thank you for being here, first of all, and your willingness to run and represent not only our community, but the state of Colorado. So thank you for putting that work in and for being willing to do that. Also, I want to bring up Diane from Legal Women Voters. She's just got a real quick announcement, and then we'll get started.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here, and thank you to our candidates, and thank you to our moderator, and thank you to you, especially for doing this. We are appreciative. The reason I wanted to talk to you for a moment was that the League is doing an issues forum on October 9th at the Impossible Players Theater on 10th and Main. That's correct, right? 10th and Main. And we would love to see you there if you would like to hear some information on some of the various issues. As you know, it's a huge ballot this year. And something like 14 state issues and four more local ones. So we would love to have you come to our forum. We will hope to see you there. And thank you again for being here tonight. Thank you, Dwayne.
Again, I just want to thank Legal Women Voters. I wouldn't be able to fill out my ballot most of the time if it wasn't for them. They do such a great job taking those ballot initiatives and really breaking them down into just the pros and cons without taking a side. I also want to thank our moderator tonight. We brought him out of retirement, special for tonight, one time only, Steve Henson. So thank you, Steve.
Thanks, I thank you. Great for you to have everybody here tonight, and welcome to the forum for House District 46. We'll go over the rules one more time very, very quickly. Everybody's been so nice, so I don't think we have to really worry about a lot of drama. But just for information, the candidates don't have cell phones on the stage. They have one page of notes. They don't have earpieces in their ears, nor have they seen the questions beforehand. Nobody's seen the questions except me. So we ask again that you be respectful. You can clap and you can cheer for your candidate. That's fine. But we don't want you as moaning and groaning when the other person's speaking. That's what we're trying to avoid. Okay, so we had a coin flip, and Kim Swearingen won that, and she elected to go second in the forum tonight. So we'll have opening remarks from Tisha Morrow.
Thank you, and I appreciate you coming out of retirement for this evening. And we'll beg you back 2 years from now, I would imagine. I'd also like to thank the Greater Pueblo Chamber, PCC, NAACP, League of Women Voters, and everybody for being here tonight. It's getting kind of late, so thanks for all you stalwarts for staying in the room. We appreciate it. I'd like to start with a little bit of background. My name is Tisha Morrow. It is my honor to currently serve Pueblo in House District 46 as your state representative. It's truly the honor of my life. I was born and raised out east of Boone on an 800-acre farm and ranch, so I learned early on those values that you learn in a small community like that. Working hard, relying on your neighbor, knowing what community means, and quite frankly, the value of water. I then I attended all District 70 schools and then went to USC, which is now CSUP, which tells you I'm old. But that's okay. I then got married, raised my two boys on a farm out in Vineland, which we still own. I then entered into the workforce, and my first job was at the Pueblo County Clerk and Recorder's Office. And I worked there for a few years. Then I entered into the private sector in the auto industry, where I literally started at the very base level office job you can get in the auto industry, and worked my way up over 20 plus years into one of the highest management positions you can get in the auto industry. In that time is when I learned my management skills, leadership skills. I managed multi-million dollar budgets, multi-million dollar inventories over the years, hundreds of different employees. And those are the types of qualities from my roots to my small business background are the qualities that I have brought to the state legislature. Over the last 2 years in the legislature, I've worked on legislation that makes government more accessible to every Coloradoan. I have worked on legislation that's cut tax dollars. I have worked on legislation that's cut fees, trying to make everything a little bit easier as we can. Because we know we're in kind of a penny-pinching time right now. Everybody's working paycheck to paycheck. I also serve, I'm very proud to serve on the Transportation and Local Government Committee and Business Committee, as well as Interim Committee on Wildfire Matters, which is a big deal. I'm sure everybody knows in this room. Wildfire is a big problem in Colorado. Education is another area that I worked on to ensure that Pueblo students and teachers have the resources they need to succeed. We were able to increase for the first time in over 30 years funding for both District 60 and District 70 on a permanent basis. So these districts can count on that money going forward. They can really make decisions that will improve their teachers' salaries and their life and their students, and we can finally get the money that Pueblo deserves and has been deserving for more than 30 years. Let's see. Well, and I believe that our greatest asset is our students, so having worked on that legislation has made me very proud, and it looks like I'm on time, so I will wrap up by saying I appreciate you for being here tonight, and thank you for listening, and I will turn it over.
Okay. We'll now have opening remarks from Kim Swearingen.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, the Greater Pueblo Chamber of Commerce, Colorado Politics, the League of Women Voters, the NAACP, as well as the people in this audience and the people online. I truly appreciate the ability, and it's a privilege to be here and speak to you today. I was born in California. I am a product of the American dream. My mother was a pilgrim. Well, my mother's family was a pilgrim. My father was a post-World War II German immigrant. So I am a product of the American dream. I grew up in Colorado Springs, but a brief time in my childhood, I lived in Europe. It was a great time. I went to Woodland Park High School, where I met my husband, Ridge. In 1991, I became part of the Swearingen family here in Pueblo. I had my son, Alex, and then I graduated from CSUP. It was USC when I started, but it was CSUP when I graduated. I graduated with a CET, or a Civil Engineering Technology degree, and a bachelor's in music. I immediately started working for the City of Pueblo as their water wastewater engineer. I worked there for 7 years. I'm very familiar with infrastructure, both water and wastewater related. While I was working for the City of Pueblo, I got my MBA. I found that I was using more business than I was using engineering when I worked for municipalities. I was working with contracts, I was doing meetings, I was doing presentations to City Council. I worked for various municipalities to include Pueblo West, the City of Brighton, and I currently work for the City of Colorado Springs Utilities. I discovered during those times that I have a servant's heart. I love serving my community. When I was working for the Pueblo West Metro District, I learned a lot about what it takes to be a utilities director. But I also realized that I wanted to have a career in politics, so I took a job in the private sector. So I was able to run for the board of directors there. While I was there, I facilitated an IGA between Pueblo West and Pueblo County, which was a campaign promise upheld about the roads in Pueblo West. I served on the board of trustees for the Colorado and Wyoming chapter of the Multiple Sclerosis Society. I was also the release chair for the infrastructure report card for the Association of Civil Engineers. My experience, knowledge, and compassion to move Colorado and HD 46 in a new direction with family, economy, and water and energy as my top priorities. Thank you.
Okay. Tisha, you'll answer the first question. What do you see as the key issues in the area covered by District 46?
Okay, thank you for the question. The key issues, I would always start with education, because education is the beginning foundation to the solving of every other problem that we have in Pueblo. and across the United States, to be frank. So, like I mentioned in my opening speech, getting those dollars secured for Pueblo that they've never seen before, which if you're from Pueblo, you still haven't felt them yet because they're not here. They're coming next year. So, I mean, I know it kind of sounds like singing to the choir there because it hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. And education being primary because our children are our future. Another thing I would mention, especially in Pueblo, is crime. There's, it's paramount that our taxpayers, our small business owners, feel safe in their community. So working on that, working, collaborating with the chief of police, the sheriff's department, the district's attorneys, and other elected officials in Pueblo on what we can do to make Pueblo's streets safer for every citizen is a high priority to me. Another thing, just because of agriculture, and it's a huge deal in Pueblo County because we have the best farmers in Colorado, I would say, as attested by Pueblo Chili, is water. Absolutely. Now, one thing to know about water is we've done a very good job over the years in Pueblo taking care of our water. The predecessors, and we have some of the oldest water rights in Colorado, but protecting them here going forward is our job now. So that is another top priority for me.
Okay. Kim?
Thank you, Tisha. My top three, as I walk around and I talk to people in Pueblo County and the city of Pueblo, the number one issue is crime, as evidenced by our debate yesterday between the two candidates for the district attorney. They have so much to work towards when it comes to making sure that people are properly penalized or they are properly incarcerated or whatever it is that they need to do to take care of things. They need our help as legislators. The second one is, of course, water. Tisha mentioned water. We are Colorado. We are a dry state. Water is paramount. And the second one is energy or economic cost. So what it takes to not only, you know, pay your bills, but where that energy comes from. So I think that those are the top three in my district.
Okay. Tisha, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I would like to add. I kind of think what's your top three issues. In this job at the state legislature, there is no such thing as a top three. Everything is important. We have mental health crisis. We have healthcare crisis. I mean, I do always like to try to narrow it down to our neighborhood, but I'd like to say that every single issue is important. It just depends on which day, because we deal with all of them at the state capitol, and they're all important. So I just wanted to add that.
Okay. Kim, any other thoughts?
I would agree with Tisha to a point. I think that Southern Colorado has specific issues that they need to handle. We're not all the same. We're not cookie cutter. We are not Denver. We are not the Western Slope. We have very specific needs, wants, and haves here in Southern Colorado that I think we need to address.
Okay. Kim, you'll answer this next question first. And this is the first of two questions about crime and violence. The state legislature every year wrestles with the issue of gun violence, which of course includes school shootings. Do you think we should pass legislation regarding guns? And also, Ken, how can we deal with related mental health issues?
I was recently endorsed by the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Association. I'm 100% 2A. 2A is where it's at. Our gun rights should not be infringed upon. With that being said, when we're talking about school shootings, we're talking about kids shooting other kids. That's a crime already. There's no reason for us to pass legislation on a crime that's already on the books. There's no need for that. What we need to do is we need to address the education piece, which I believe Tisha has said that she has been part of with the money going to our schools. But we don't make guns an education topic. We need to make guns an education topic. Those kids need to know how to handle a gun properly and safely. That is what we do at my house. My gun doesn't kill people. My gun sits there and does its own thing and lays there on the table until I pick it up. A gun does nothing until it's in the hands of an evil person or a good person. And that's how it goes. When it comes to legislation, I believe that there should be no legislation. That 2A should not be infringed.
Okay. Tisha?
There's absolutely no doubt that we have a gun violence issue. It is not an easy issue to tackle because it's very multifaceted. You know, about 70% of people in the United States don't even own a gun. Only about 30, 35%, depending on which poll you're looking at, even own a gun, and only like 5% of those own the majority of guns. So it's a very, very hard and difficult issue to legislate. However, I think there are ways. I do think that I agree with Matt Martinez. The three-day waiting period is absolutely necessary. That's more for a suicidal issue, and that cooling off period can make a really big difference in those instances, and suicides are a huge deal. Particularly, one of the biggest segments of suicides is rural older gentlemen. So this is definitely something we need to take a look at. Legislation is tricky, and I have definitely voted for some gun bills, and I've definitely voted against some bills. I got my hunter safety when I was 8 years old, you know, so I understand rural Colorado and the needs of hunting and sportsmanship, and I'll stop there.
Kim?
She's like, stop.
What about the domestic violence victim? There is no reason why a person that would need to wait 3 days if they are afraid for their life. There is no reason for that.
Okay. Tisha?
That's a very specific, and I mean, domestic violence victims need to be protected immediately when they become that victim, and that they should be protected by police and the sheriff's department. Those folks can help them in that circumstance. I would say that still most studies show, well, I would say most all studies I've ever read show that 3 day waiting period helps a lot in suicide prevention. And I think between students and younger folks and older folks being the most at risk there, it's definitely worth us doing.
Okay. Tisha, you'll answer the next question first. Law enforcement agencies, from small police departments to the Colorado State Patrol, are struggling to attract and retain officers. What can the legislature do to improve that?
Thank you for the question. First of all, I want to say that I believe in fully funding our police departments. They need all the support and backing of the state of Colorado that they can get. I know Pueblo has been working very hard in the last couple of years at a city level and a county level to attract new police officers. They've got sign-on bonuses. They've got assistance in putting a down payment on a home to live in our community. Things of that nature that are helping, and we are making headway there. I'm continuing those types of efforts, but I do believe it's fully also on the community to support them 100% in their work. These folks put their lives on the line every single day for every single one of us in the community. And it's our job to have their back as well. I know that I will support all legislation that funds the police. And if legislation needs to be changed at the state level, I am here for it. If the chief of police or the district attorney or the sheriff comes to me and said, this particular legislation is tying my hands on being able to effectively keep our streets safe, I want to sit down on that table and figure it out, and I will happily run that legislation to make that change. Legislation gets changed all the time. If something in the past is not working for Pueblo, let's fix it.
Okay. Kim?
Thank you. Well, out of the myriads of things I've done in my life, I actually went to the police academy. I chose not to pursue that. At the time, my son was very young, so I chose not to pursue it. But I still had that heart for the police officer. I was at an event the other day where Mayor Graham was there talking about what it is that she needs for the city. And she doesn't need funding. She told us she has the funding. The city of Pueblo has made it available for her. And that was a vote by the people. What she needs is time and people to apply. There are no people applying. Qualified immunity has gutted the ability for a police officer to protect himself as well as the people that he is responding for. It also takes 48 months to train a police officer.
Okay. Tisha?
I have not seen any of our local police officers charged in any kind of quantified immunity cases. So I don't know that that's necessarily true. I'm happy to take a look at it. Like I said, I am always open to re-looking at things, and if there is a problem, let's look at fixing it. But I haven't seen that there's any evidence to state that. I will say that we can all, we've got to get with this. I'm not the expert in the criminal justice field. That would be our chief of police, our sheriff, and our DA's office. But I will tell you, I'm available to them any time, and any resource I can provide to them, I commit that to them right now.
Okay. Kim?
That may be true, but I'm pretty sure that she probably has not talked to the mayor or the chief of police that I'm aware. I mean, I can't speak for that. But it's about qualified immunity and the risk. There are police officers that have quit the day that that law was passed. They knew what it meant. Those officers are scared. The reason you haven't heard a case is because they're scared. They don't want to be liable for something that happens on the job. They're going to back off on something, regardless of what the situation is. They're going to back off before because they're thinking about themselves, which they should be. They should be thinking about their life and property. But if they're not going to be backed up by their legislatures, there's no reason for them to put their lives on the line.
Okay, Kim, you'll answer the next question first. We all know how polarized our nation is, and that includes our elected officials. If elected, how will you resist your party's leadership when it insists on party line positions and votes and work with your colleagues across the aisle?
That's a great question. I negotiate all day, every day. It is part of my job. There is an old adage that says if you both go to the table and you both come away a little bit unhappy, you probably did it right. So from a party perspective, I will listen to the party, I will weigh the needs of the district, and then I will represent them up in Denver the way I feel is right and the way that the voters think is right. That is the purpose of our system, is to vote in the person that aligns the best with your values. If I align the best with your values, please vote for me. If I don't, please vote for Tisha. That's how it works. I appreciate and I applaud that system.
Okay, Tisha?
Thank you for the question. Well, I'm very proud to have a track record of working across the aisle. Over 75% of the bills that I have run have been bipartisan. I had two that passed unanimously. And I have stood up to Denver. I have voted against, I don't have the exact number, but I voted against bills that are just simply not in the best interest of our community. The other thing, though, to that is if there's something wrong with a bill, if you have the right relationships that you've built and worked and you have camaraderie amongst other legislators, you can go and say, hey, this specific bill affects my community in this way. I realize you may need it for your community, but it's not good for my community. And we're able to sit down and make it to where it doesn't have to affect Pueblo, and I can still vote yes on the bill so it can help their neighborhood. So that's very important, and that's the type of work that I do.
Okay. Kim?
Thank you. That's a great point that she brings up, the things that she's done to work across the aisle. I don't have that luxury. I have not been in the legislature yet, but I have worked with other municipalities. I have worked with other counties. And I have worked specifically between Pueblo West and Pueblo County when we negotiated the IGA between Pueblo West and Pueblo County to take over the roads. Those are the types of things that I will do for House District 46, is to move House District 46 in a different direction.
Okay. Tisha, anything else?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Okay. Tisha, you'll answer the next question first. Traffic congestion on Colorado's two major highways, I-25 and I-70, is getting worse and worse. What can the state legislature do to fix that?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question. This past session, I passed a bill that will help further Front Range passenger rail, and it will become a reality. There are large federal funds available to projects like ours that we have moved forward over the course of several, I would say a couple decades that we've been working on this, but can actually come true for us here in Pueblo. That will not only alleviate congestion on I-25, but that will also spur economic growth for Pueblo. It has enormous benefits for Pueblo, and that is coming forward, and I'm proud to be a part of that, and the many that came before me that have been working on that for years. And they are also looking at rail to go through I-70 corridor, because we simply cannot keep doing the same thing that we've been doing, which is expand. We've got to have other alternatives. We cannot think the way we did 20 years ago is going to be how it's going to work 20 years from now. We need to be forethinking and doing that work right now, which is what I believe I've done in the state legislature.
Okay. Kim?
Thank you. I can appreciate Tisha's position. Trains are sexy. I love a train. They're highly subsidized, but all they do is move people north. They're not going to move people south. They're going to move us up to there so that we can spur their economy. There's a saying in traffic engineering, build more lanes, they will come. It doesn't matter how big you build a road, that road is going to get congested regardless of what you do to it. But I don't care about I-70. I don't care about I-25, probably north of Springs. What I need is I-25 and Highway 50 here in Pueblo County. That is where we need to be putting our money.
Okay. Tisha?
Well, I care of the whole state of the Colorado, but I definitely prioritize Pueblo, and I agree. And if we stop dumping money and expanding I-25 over and over and over again, we can afford then to put more money into Highway 50 and work on our east and west corridor down here in the south, which we are the gateway to the south. And we have many improvements we can make there, and that again would be another economic boon for our area.
Okay. Kim?
That's great. And I believe CDOT has a plan for Highway 50 as well as I-25. I also know for a fact that they have reprioritized a lot of those projects to down here. Look at the overpass that they put up in Pueblo West. Look at the overpass they're about to put at the Highway 50 bypass. They are putting money down here. It is just slow. We need to be patient. We need to give CDOT a chance. I believe that they are coming through for us.
Okay. Kim, you'll answer the next question first. Every Southern Colorado politician says they're going to fight to protect Southern Colorado's water. Well, that's nice. But what exactly can you do to fight off the higher and moneyed interests from Northern Colorado that want our water?
I've actually already done that, Steve. Thank you for asking. I was a part of a project called the Hill Ranch Project in Pueblo West. Back in 2002, Pueblo West purchased water from from a property in Chaffee County. It's considered a buy and dry. What that means is you buy the water, you dry up the property, and you take that water for municipal use. Unfortunately, that project hit snags and was mismanaged, and the land was not taken care of. When I was the Public Works Director in Pueblo West, I worked with those landowners, as well as Chaffee County, to actually make good our agreement and our 14-01 permits to get that land revegetated so that we could basically use the water off of it. So I would take that experience into the future with that project, as well as the projects that we have going on down the river in the lower arc. I have relationships with lower arc. I have relationships with upper arc, as well as understandings of water rights in Colorado, as well as infrastructure needs in Colorado. I was part of the infrastructure report card, which means that they gave grades on the infrastructure here in Colorado, as well as knowing what those needs are. Not to forget, we also have the Colorado Compact coming up. Jeff Hurd spoke about the Colorado Compact yesterday in his debate. It is vitally important that we maintain the Colorado Compact the way it is currently written to protect Colorado's water from downstream states.
Tisha?
Well, congratulations, Pueblo. You have the best quality water in the state, and you have the best amount of water in the state, and that's because of the numerous people before me and continuing forward. This area really has done a great job in protecting our water rights, and we will continue to do so. We've got We've been doing it for years and years and years and years, and there's no reason to really reinvent the wheel here. All we've got to do is look at the people who came before us that have done such a great job, given us our great quality water and the amount of quality of water that we do have, and continue down that road. There's always something to learn, and there's always something to stand up to, but I guarantee you I will never vote for any kind of legislation that takes water out of our area, ever.
Kim?
I have nothing further to add.
Okay. Tisha? Anything else? Okay. Tisha, you'll answer the next question. When marijuana was legalized in Colorado, there was all kinds of excitement about how much it would benefit the Colorado economy, and it did at first. But now the industry has seen significant declines, and that promise of great things has faded. At the same time, the problems caused by marijuana haven't gone anywhere and are getting worse. What's your opinion?
The Colorado voters voted in favor for marijuana, and as any new industry comes into a place, it is, you know, it goes kind of crazy. And you know, even at that time, that you've got to do your best to contain that excitement, because there's a leveling off period, especially when surrounding states have since legalized marijuana. So getting what we got when we got it was good as far as those programs that we were able to fund, but now we literally have to look at all those programs that were funded by that and figure out where we're going to go from here. I was served on the very first marijuana liquor licensing board here in Pueblo, and we took great lengths to make sure we put in moratoriums as early as we thought necessary to prevent, you know, going too crazy and then having everything kind of closed down because of oversaturation. And that's kind of where we're at right now, is that leveling off period. As far as, you know, the negative implications of marijuana, when it first became legal, we did not have the vast amount of studies that we do now that we can dissect and then look at how we can change things going forward. That is something we now need to do. So we need to reevaluate those programs that are funded fully by marijuana or even partially, and see what we need to do to stabilize those programs. And then we need to really dive into the numbers on how it affects our youth and how it affects our communities, and take steps forward to make it a safer, better thing for Colorado.
Okay. Kim?
That was a great answer.
Thanks.
I agree wholeheartedly with Tisha. You have to back what the voters wanted. I have no qualms about doing that. My husband had multiple sclerosis. He was a red card holder. I am for medical marijuana. It is a medicine. It really is. It gave him comfort near the end. So, but where did the money go? I don't know where the money went. They promised that it was going to go to the schools. I personally didn't ever see it. I hear that there were grants, best grants. I personally did not see where it went. I didn't see the programs that were supposed to come of it. I mean, we were supposed to have education programs about drugs. We were supposed to have all these great things, infrastructure, all these great things that came from the money. I haven't seen it. I mean, District 70 schools, they're one of the most underfunded districts in the state. Where did that money go? I also agree that we do have a mental health crisis that is allowing people to self-medicate with marijuana that we need to educate and address.
Tisha?
I'll forward you the website so you can see where the money went.
Okay. Kim, anything else?
Thanks.
Okay. Kim, you'll answer the next question. If you're a legislator from Southern Colorado, you face an uphill battle. You're always fighting against the urban and the Denver area legislators trying to get things here. But we need a lot of infrastructure, things like broadband and healthcare access. So how do you deal with that?
It's a great question. I was hired in the city of Brighton for my people skills. I have a way about me that engenders trust, allows me to build relationships, allows me to build teams and coalitions. I single-handedly turned around their development community when I was up there. I would take those skills and I would use them in the legislature. I would form partnerships and collaborations with the various folks that have the same values as me, as well as the folks that may not have the same values as me. I believe in diversity of thought. I believe in diversity of ideas. I think that when we come to the table as a largely American, you know, coalition, we need to take into account everybody's ideas, take and pick and choose the best ones, and we move forward with those. I think that with my people skills and my ability to negotiate, I have those skills that can bring people together when it comes to working in the legislature, working across the aisle towards things that we all are bipartisan in nature, as well as we have those various pieces that we all want to move forward. We need to protect our water. We need to curb our crime. We need to think about the safety and security of our families and our mental health.
Tisha?
Thank you. The number one thing about what I've done over the past 2 years is get to know and become friend, not necessarily friends always, but at least understand the areas that my fellow legislators in. Many of them are in Denver. More than probably half of them have visited in Pueblo to see our community. They love Pueblo. So by building those relationships over the past 2 years, they know who I am. They know what I stand for. They know I grew up on a farm. They know what's important to me, that they're willing to sit down and look at their bills and how it affects Pueblo and how can we make that not affect Pueblo. Or maybe we need to relook at it in an entirely different manner. But that's how you get that done in a majority. You have to have a voice in the majority party for your town to be heard. Just another no vote won't really help Pueblo. What will help Pueblo is somebody who has spent the time to see the other points of view. You know, we talk a lot about the urban-rural divide. Well, it is real. It's real for us because we're the rural, and we all understand that. Has any of us ever taken the time to understand the urban problems and what my vote for them could help them achieve in their community? But that has to go two ways, so they have to help me in my community as well.
Okay. Kim?
I don't agree that they know what we need down here. They may like us. They may say they like us to our face, but they don't know what we need down here. They hand down unfunded mandates for stormwater, for energy and carbon emissions. They come down here and they have a cabin in Beulah. They don't understand us. They just come down here. They try to change us. They try to move their values here. They just don't understand us here.
Okay. Tisha?
Yes. She's right. They don't, which is why I've taken the past 2 years to explain that to them. She's absolutely right. Their experience is theirs, and our experience is ours. The job that I've been trying to do is say, hey, I can understand what your point of view is. I need you to understand mine. My area is just as important as to me as yours is to you. We have just different needs, but we've got to work together. And they when you've built those relationships is how you get those things accomplished.
Okay, we'll now have closing remarks. Kim won the coin toss and elected to go last, so Tisha, you're first.
Great, thank you. Again, I'd like to thank Steve for coming out of retirement, the Greater Chamber, NAACP, League of Women Voters, and everybody who stuck through it all. It's been a long evening for you, so I really appreciate it and hearing us out. I just want to say, and I'll keep it short because it's been a long day, being your state representative is truly the honor of my life, and I've never been more proud to represent Pueblo. Pueblo is my home. It's always been my home. I've never lived anywhere else. I understand our community. I understand our farmers. I understand our small businesses. I stand side by side by our unions. I know that the steel industry is still a big part of our community. And I want to take that knowledge and the experience I've garnered over the years back up to the Capitol and represent Pueblo. It would be, again, an honor for me. And there's a lot of work to be done that I've worked the last 2 years trying to make headways on, and I'm not done. I have a lot more to give, and I would appreciate the opportunity and your vote to do that. And thank you. My name's Tisha Morrow.
Okay. Kim?
Thanks again, Steve, for the opportunity and the Pueblo Chamber of Commerce and Duane. It has been a privilege to speak here tonight. I've given you my resume. I've given you what I think that I should do for House District 46. It is up to you to make that decision. And you have the greatest gift in all the world, your vote. Use it wisely. My name is Kim Swearingen, House District 46. Please vote for me, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you everyone for attending and for watching tonight. That concludes our forum for House District 46. Drive safe, have a good evening.
And you've been listening to candidate debates tonight, just concluding Colorado House District 46 from the Hogue Theater on the Pueblo Community College campus right here on KSPK-FM. Thank you for listening. Your moderator for tonight has been Steve Henson. I'm Paul Richards here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Molsonburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 8 o'clock.
Baby girl, you out your mind, you way too good for me. Thinking about the day we met, you could have just ignored me. Here I am, laying next to you, looking extra cute in the morning. Looking back all through the past, everything before you was boring. You're the type people wishing they'd sit next to on a flight. Top of list, who I wanna wash up on an island with. You're the dream, even if we're counting girls in magazines. You're still a mystery. What's someone as beautiful as you?